Welcome to In the News. I'm Chris. I'm Jeff Watson. Today I'll be reading from the AARP magazine. Our first article is Upfront, What I Know Now. It's by Kathy Bates. How she lost weight, gained confidence, and found the perfect gig as the lead in the new Matlock reboot. Make every day a success, I say. I grew up in Memphis with older parents. My father was born in 1900, and I lived in a very sheltered life. And my father asked me because he was concerned that I wanted to play the guitar and sing and do all those artistic things. Aren't you going to make a success of yourself? I was very young, and I just wanted to make every day a success. That's as far as I go. A professor's best advice. I knew I could act when I was in high school, but at Southern Methodist University, SMU, I didn't know what I was doing. At the orientation, the speaker for the humanities school said, "You're in the wrong school. You're supposed to be in the art school. Go down the hall. Here's where you go to begin your life's work. Let Lady Luck lead you." SMU had just created a proper conservatory, and Bob Hope had given us a theater, so it was a magical time to be there. Then a friend I made there wrote a play, Vanities, which ran off Broadway and gave me my start in the theater. Warren Beatty came to see us and introduced me to Dustin Hoffman. Years later, screenwriter William Goldman came to see me in a different play, and they were casting Misery, so he recommended me to the director. But it all began at SMU. Eating mindfully. Several years ago, I was diagnosed with diabetes. It scared the crap out of me. I was at 245 pounds. Over 6 years, I lost 80 pounds. I just started pushing my plate away. Then I lost 20 pounds with Ozempic. I always joke that I lost a Romanian gymnast. The freedom of losing weight, the confluence of getting the lead in Matlock in this new weight isn't serendipity. Heavier, I wouldn't have been able to stand the long hours in the discipline of learning the lines that a series requires. I can tuck in my shirts and close my jackets on set. I know it's short, but for the first time in my life, I feel free of the sorrow and burden of being a woman who can't move and breathe. Using age positively. Women constantly fight ageism, and I've been very aware that the page has turned for many of us older folks. That's why I was so drawn to this role of Maddie in Matlock. It was written for women my age. They created this magnificent character who is driven, smart, funny, complicated older woman. So I can use all the things I've learned over the past 50 years in one character. This is as told by Mary Rokin. Academy Award winner actress Kathy Bates, 76, stars in Matlock. It's a new show on CBS inspired by the original series. Okay, under money savers, which most people are looking to do, tipping points. You may have strong opinions about tips, like if they should be taxed or whether they're out of control. But what do waiters, drivers, and others who live on tips want to tell you about them? Here's what some had to say. A tour guide. Some tour companies will tell you that the tip is included, but that's not always accurate. There are too many instances where we don't get anything, and it's depressing given how much work and thought goes into our preparation. That's from James Carr, President, Guild of Professional Tour Guides of Washington, D.C. A rideshare driver. About 10 to 12% of all passengers tip. It's low, but it all depends on the nature of the person. People who depend on tips, bartenders, strippers, housekeepers, always tip. That's from Sergio. He's a rideshare person. Food delivery. The tip is displayed up front, and that's a big factor whether or not drivers end up taking an order. Because the base amount you get from DoorDash, it's not enough. Customers complain about the fees, but they don't go to the driver. a server at a restaurant. In most places, your tip doesn't go just to the server. Your server might have to pay 10% of their alcohol sales to the bartender, 10% of their total tips to the bussers. Many times, servers break even or lose money to tables that don't tip after ordering alcohol. Hotel housekeeper. Leave your tip every day. I may clean your room for 2 or 3 days in a row, but if you wait until checkout to tip and I'm not working that day, someone else gets the tip. Put it in the bed or put it in an envelope and write housekeeper on it, but leave it in the room rather than taking it to the front desk. That's from Maria, works in San Francisco. How about a mover? If you can't afford to tip, good reviews on websites such as Yelp, Google, and Facebook are appreciated. And although most movers just want to focus on getting the job done, offering food or drinks is always appreciated. That's from a mover in New York City. A nail salon technician. Generally, about half of nail tech's income comes from tips. The tech usually receives only a percentage of the price of the service. The rest is paid back to the business, but the tip is 100% the nail tech's money. Money report, how I saved $4,400 in a day, and maybe you can too. Some simple negotiation tricks and a little time can go a long way toward keeping cash in your pocket. This is written by Diane Harris. How much money could you save if you spent one full day trying? I recently tried to find out, tracking as many money-saving tasks as I could in a 9-to-5 workday, all the pesky stuff I kept meaning to do but never made time for. The result for me, it was eye-popping. An annualized basis of precisely $4,466.41. Along the way, I learned some serious valuable lessons. For one, it's easy to get a deal on almost everything. The real challenge is how big a price you can nab. Also, there's a simple formula to achieve the biggest savings. Finally, the benefits of this exercise go far beyond dollars and cents. Here's what I did and how you can do. Go for the easy wins first. I spent the first hour of the day identifying my recurring bills and determining which ones to cut or renegotiate. This step revealed two streaming services I'd forgotten I had, a handful of subscriptions to magazines I rarely read, and a mystery monthly charge from Apple. All told, I was spending about $100 more a month on these services than I guessed. I was hardly alone. Consumers on average estimate they spend $86 a month on subscription services, while their actual outlay is $219 a month, reports CNR Research. Armed with my checklist, I started with the most straightforward task, canceling subscriptions. A pattern became apparent. I clicked to cancel, then get a reminder of how great the service was, click to cancel again, then get an offer with a modest savings, click to cancel a third time and get a much better deal. The company's goal is to get you to stay as a customer while giving away as little as possible, so they will never offer their best deal first, says Yanda Zarda, co-founder of Rocket Money, a budgeting app that helps track and cancel recurring charges. Although this was a useful strategy to learn, hold out as long as possible. I ignored the images and clicked goodbye in quick succession to 5 magazines in the forgotten streaming service. Then, scrolling through my phone, I figured out that the mystery Apple charge was for an app I no longer use, so I dropped that too. Time spent 2 hours and 10 minutes, savings over $1,000 a year. Deal with a human. To get the best offers, pros had told me you must talk to a person. So for services I wanted to keep, I hit the phone. I followed the basic script. Say you want to cancel your service. That will get the attention of the department head, where they have more liberty than a regular customer service rep to give you as much as you can, says Barry Gross, president of Bill Cutters, a subscription negotiating service. Keep your questions open-ended, like, what can you do to help me reduce my bill? And keep asking, what else can you do for me? First up was my $500 a year Wall Street Journal digital subscription. The rep quickly offered what seemed like a sweet deal, a three-year plan for $99 for the first year, then $299 and $467 for subsequent years. I took it. That was a rookie mistake. If I had checked the website, I would have seen a new customer offer $52 a year. Knowing that, I could have asked for the same price. Resolving to do better, I checked the New York Times website before calling them. So when a rep offered to reduce my $51 a month charge for digital access and the Sunday print edition to $25.52 a month for 6 months, I mentioned a new customer promotion I'd seen. $20 a month for a year. The rep countered with $12.40 a month for 6 months, then $24.80 the following 6 months. Score! Time spent 40 minutes, saving $788.68. Save the thorniest bills for last. Getting a price cut on cell phone service is tough. They keep you on the phone for a long time to wear you down and overload you with confusing details about different plan options that often don't offer any real savings. That matched my experience with Brenda, a cheery Verizon agent who said she'd be happy to help me lower my bill. She offered me, don't laugh, she said, $4 off my $234 a month family plan as an award for my 20 years as a loyal Verizon customer. I laughed anyway. What else can you do, Brenda? I asked. She then bombarded me with features of plans I could switch to, none of which would cut my bill more than a dollar or so. I don't need those features, I said. I just want to save money. This went on for an hour until I, exasperated Brenda, asked, how much do you need to save? At least $50 a month, I said. Then she magically found a new basic plan, which along with dropping a hotspot on two lines and insurance on another, cut my monthly bill by $51. Later I learned I made another mistake. Typically, you can get the discount without giving up anything in terms of service. The last item on my agenda took the most time, but yielded the biggest savings. Applying to have my Medicare premiums adjusted due to a life-changing event. For me, that event was a recent move from a staff job as a deputy director at Newsweek to a freelance writer and editor working that pays less. Since my Medicare premiums are based on the income reported on my tax return, for 2 years, my husband and I are now paying $1,987 per year more than we should pay based on my current income. So I filled out an application for the adjustment, then uploaded it for the necessary documentation. That took me 3.5 hours, but I saved $2,500. Keep the momentum going. The most delightful part of my day wasn't how much cash I put in my pocket. It was how I felt, and I was motivated to keep the game going. On my next money savings day, I tackle my cable and internet bundle and my homeowner's insurance. There's very little downside to trying. At worst, you'll break even, says LenderTree's Matt Schultz. At best, like me, your savings may run into thousands. Not bad for a day's work. Money Saver by Gene Chatsky. To the rescue. First came a health crisis, then the debt. A woman struggles to recover from a series of personal setbacks. The problem, Yvette Avelis had strong finances, a home she owned, a growing salary, and retirement savings on the rise. 5 years ago, all that changed. Avelis, a human resources manager in Teaneck, New Jersey, took time off to recover from first surgery and help her father, who was diagnosed with Parkinson's. On top of a pay cut when returned to work was her own back surgery plus home and car repairs. She tapped $50,000 home equity line of credit and then ran up $110,000 in credit card debt. Even after getting a higher paying job, she struggled raiding her IRA with early withdrawals. I've always been the person who lent people money, Avilis, who's 57 and single, told me through tears. I've been living under severe stress. The advice: some debt problems can be solved by reining in spending and funneling the excess into paydown strategy. Balance transfer to credit cards with a 0% introductory rate can help. Neither worked. Just making minimum payments on her cards was unattainable, with the interest rate as high as 32%. And the 3% to 5% for balance transfer felt too expensive. Another option was to file for bankruptcy. Hard pass, she said. She could also work with a debt settlement firm. Under such a plan, you stop paying creditors, save up a lump sum payment, and offer to pay only part of what you owe, in the hope that creditors will accept that. But your credit score tanks, creditors may refuse to settle, the industry is prone to scams, and the IRS treats forgiven debt as taxable income. Not-for-credit counselors offered what is called Debt Management Plan, DMP. These are arrangements with credit card companies to lower interest rates and waive late and overtime fees. You may pay counselors, they pass the money along to your creditors, and your credit cards are closed. It typically takes several years to get through a DMP successfully. Arvis chose the DMP. I connected with her, Marla Puckett, a credit counselor with 21 years of experience, who works at the nonprofit Money Management International. That's MMI. Puckett started by gathering enough information on Avilis living expenses, income, and debts to confirm that at a reduced interest rate, she would be able to make payments on an ongoing basis. The verdict? On a five-year plan, she could do it. MMI's DMP required a $25 setup fee and an ongoing $50 monthly charge, but it reduced Avilis' monthly credit card payments from $3,300. That was her total minimum, to about $21. But Avilis still had no reserves for home maintenance and future emergencies, so we took a hard look at her home. She owed $97,000 plus the $50,000 line of credit on her home. A local broker, Stephen Finkelson of Russo Real Estate, estimated will sell for about $420,000. After commissions, closing costs, and moving, she could clear about $240,000, excluding maintenance and upkeep. Carrying the property was costing her a little over $2,100 a month. For roughly the same amount, she could rent an apartment. Would she consider selling and using the equity to pay off the debt and replenish her emergency fund and give herself a fresh start? The outcome: Avilis signed the DMP and began making the reduced payments. She also got ready to list her home with Finkelstein and asked him to find her apartment. I love being in a house, she says, but citing the repairs and upkeep, she adds, I think not having the burden of the thing is what I enjoy most. This is 50, writing out mooniness, page 27. Staying lucky, how to zap wrinkles. Getting your Z's, awake at 3 a.m. again. Even good sleepers can start experiencing insomnia in their 50s. Here's some expert advice of how to cope. Cut the booze. Alcohol lingers longer in our system when we're 50, says Alicia Roth, a psychologist at the Cleveland Clinic Sleep Disorder Center. Even if a nightcap helps you get to sleep, it could wake you up later because alcohol can suppress deep sleep. Get tested for sleep apnea. For women, obstructive sleep apnea often emerges in a perimenopause, says Brendan Peters, MD, in Seattle, who specializes in sleep disorders. Symptoms include snoring and waking up gasping. Schedule worry. Sandwich generational stresses can make you stay up. Kathy Goldstein, MD, a sleep medicine physician at the Michigan Medicine Sleep Disorder Center. She suggests a wind down in a separate room to get worries out of your system. Roll with it. Older bodies require less sleep, says Chris Winter, MD, author of The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. If you lay awake for 20 minutes, go do something quiet in dim light, then try again. How about shop culture? Shopping malls were the place to eat, shop, and stare at the big hair in the 80s. And Gen Xers miss them. In a recent survey, 66% say they wish traditional shopping malls would make a comeback. Just 54% of boomers said the same thing. Of course, malls haven't gone away altogether. They're just different. Here's what's trending. Indoor sports. Retailers are luring visitors with physical activities including yoga, pickleball, ice skating, and golf. Play arenas. The Springfield Town Center Mall in Virginia recently opened a 32,000 square foot Lego Discovery Center with playrooms and a Lego World build-out of 1.5 million bricks. Pop-up stores. They're not just for Halloween costumes and calendars anymore. Here's what seems to be out. Arcades. Home videos drove them to extinction. Fountains. Most shopping centers eliminate water features due to reduced costs. Old standbys. Familiar retail chains like Kinney Shoes, Merry-Go-Round, Sam Goody, and Wicks and Sticks are long gone. Wisdom from Patton Oswalt. How has your comedy changed over the years? Everything I do in life affects my comedy, including being a dad in my 50s. What advice would you give to your younger self? Don't get too high on the highs or too low on the lows. It's a marathon, not a foot race. I've got to be about doing stuff that you're happy with. He's 55 years old. Is the host of the new game show, The 1% Club, on Prime Video and Fox. Tips for dealing with truculent teens. Keeping the communication lines open when your once sweet kiddo turns tough. It was nearly 20 years ago, but Kim Murnick, 56, remembers the moment clearly. Her teenage son was angry about his curfew, walked into the laundry room and called her a bitch. She was stunned and devastated. Her oldest had never acted like that before. 10 minutes later, he came back to apologize. Now a certified parent coach near Dallas and a mother of five, she still has one teen at home. Munich knows not to take such adolescent outbursts personally. A lot of times, it's not really about you, she says. They're struggling with their own emotional lives. But it's not always easy to stay zen when your kid is raging. Who likes getting yelled at for breathing weird? Developmental experts offer some simple strategies for weathering your teen's stormy moods with your relationship intact and potentially even strengthened. Use the Botox brow. Teens aren't always able to correctly identify facial expressions, research has shown. If yours is fretting about a bad grade, they might interpret your crinkled forehead as a sign of anger rather than sympathy, says Michelle Eckert, author of 8 Setbacks That Can Make a Child a Success. Eckert counsels parents to be extraordinarily neutral-looking, as if you received a heavy dose of Botox when speaking to an upset teen. They feel safe to tell you more if you have that attitude, okay? Take a back seat. When your teen has an idea that you know won't go anywhere, don't immediately shoot it down, says Zachary Feldman, MD, Associate Psychiatric Professor at the University of North Carolina School of Medicine. Ask open questions. Sometimes they just want to talk, he says. So the idea they came up with, and you know it's a loser, don't shoot it down right away. Suggest a try this first list. Encourage your kid to write down 10 things that make them happy, such as shooting hoops or watching dog videos, Iker devises. Then, when they come to you worked up about a friendship drama or whatever else drama they have going on, suggest they to write something on their list for 20 minutes. Then return to see if they still feel the same way. Time focused on a favorite activity, again, you know, shooting hoops, watching dog videos, can stop spiraling feelings and build self-awareness. It's a lesson in when I feel discomfort, I can do something to make myself feel better, but you have to know what it is. How about you schedule a weekly check-in with your teen? Teens today, they're insanely busy. Sitting down with them once a week to discuss activities and scheduled homework sessions can head off last-minute crises and meltdowns, says Anne Hathaway, author of Easing the Finish Line, the new blueprint for success beyond grades and college admissions. You're not micromanaging the process, but you're creating a time and space for the process to happen. So try it once a week. Try to sit down with them. Let them stay in their room. As a teen does the hard work of separating themselves from their parents, their bedroom becomes a place to express their independence and to regroup. As long as your kid is putting in the effort at school and engaging with family and friends, it's fine to let them spend time by themselves, says Stephen Whiteside. He's a child psychologist at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. Although note, if you see your child retreating from school, family, and other aspects of life, it might be time to call in a pediatrician for a mental health counseling session. Turn the other cheek. Thinking back to that laundry room moment, Munich said that she is thankful her son did eventually apologize. If you're in a similar situation but your child doesn't return, she advises taking some time to let your kid cool off and then going to talk to them. It's not about you. You were disrespectful to me, she says. It's about what's going on. This is really out of character for you. Instead of being offended, be curious as to what is going on in their lives at that particular time. Again, just to review some tips for dealing with teens, use the Botox brow. Act as if you've had Botox. You received a heavy dose when speaking to your teen. They feel safe then to tell you more of what's really going on. Take a back seat. Ask open-ended questions. Sometimes they just want to talk. Suggest a try this first list. Have them come up with about 10 things they like. And when they get into a funk, try, why don't you go, for example, go shoot hoops. Schedule a weekly check-in. It's always a good thing. Let them stay in their room. The only drawback is if your child is retreating, it may be time to get them a mental health reassessment. Turn the other cheek. What's going on? This is really out of character. Instead of being offended. Okay, well, that's about all the time we have for today. Jeff Watson, and be reading the AARP magazine. So long until next time.